Officials in Los Angeles are launching yet another crackdown on gang violence. It's on the rise in some parts of the city. After decades of trying to get a handle on the issue, the city admits that Los Angeles is still the country's gang capital. This time, LA is trying some new strategies for combating violent street gangs with help from the federal government. NPR's Mandalay Del Barco reports.
At daybreak, a dozen police officers surround a one-story home in the working-class neighborhood of Pacoima. They aim their guns and rifles and call out to a suspected gang member.
This is the Los Angeles Police Department. Come out to the front door with your hands up.
Eventually, the suspect's mother comes out holding back four pit bulls. Then comes his sister, pushing their grandmother in a wheelchair. Finally, police escort a 17-year-old boy in handcuffs.
Okay, we got everybody out.
The police arrest him for threatening a classmate in their high school parking lot. Detective Dave Patique says he's a member of the local Piru gang.
Our suspect pulls out a gun, points it at him, and basically says, I should effing kill you right now, but there's too many witnesses around, but I'll catch up with you.
Police say such arrests are typical here in the San Fernando Valley, where gang-related crime shot up 44% last year. Lieutenant Thomas Zack says the biggest increase is among 12 to 15-year-olds.
The gang members are getting younger, they're more brazen, and they find it necessary to commit more violent acts to achieve notoriety and demand respect.
Chief Deputy Michael Moore says these kids are spray-painting their graffiti tags, and they're not afraid to shoot.
I cannot tell you the number of examples I have of victims telling me they've heard the suspect one to the other say, you don't get to go in the gang unless you kill someone.
Further south in the Harbor Gateway neighborhood, gang violence divides along racial lines. Last month, Latino gang members were arrested for shooting and killing a 14-year-old black girl. And witnesses say black gang members gunned down a 23-year-old Latino immigrant. Derek Thomas, who's 21, says he and other African Americans don't dare cross into the Latino gang territory, not even to shop at the only market for miles.
I came down here when I was a young boy, and they told me not to come back, and from then I never came back.
Last week, activists and neighbors, including Thomas, signed a peace treaty, a pledge to cool black and Latino tensions. But none of the gangbangers who reputedly terrorized the area showed up. At the same spot a few hours later, L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa announced enough's enough.
No one should have to fear for their life because of the color of their skin. So we have a message for the gang leaders. We're coming with everything we have, and we're putting you out of business.
L.A.'s war on gangs has gone on for decades. In the 1990s, the police department's special gang units got caught up in their own scandals, stealing evidence, shooting, and framing innocent people. Since then, Chief William Bratton says the police approach to combating street gangs has been piecemeal.
We've been all over the place for many, many years. This city, this county, this region of the country needs to show leadership because we created the gang problem right here. It was born and raised and is thriving here.
Bratton now plans to target the city's top 10 worst gangs. He testified to city council members now considering a new anti-gang blueprint that goes beyond law enforcement alone. After meeting with police, clergy, and gang interventionists, civil rights attorney Connie Rice wrote up a massive roadmap for overhauling LA's strategy.
The bottom line is we have locked up over 450,000 young people under the age of 18 in the last 10 years. We've spent billions and billions of dollars on everything that you can think of in suppression. We have targeted everything from the tattoos to the shootings. And after $80 billion, we've got six times as many gangs and twice as many gang members. Suppression alone is not enough.
Rice proposes schools stay open till 9 p.m. and parks till midnight for after-school tutoring and nighttime sports. And she suggests a new gang czar could coordinate gang intervention and prevention programs. Karen Carter and Vicky Lindsay, whose sons were killed by gang members, urged the city council to approve the recommendations.
When we go home, we're locked inside, but we're still in a war zone. We are afraid. We live with this every single second. And it hurts. So whatever plans that you guys have, just put it in motion, because we hurting.
The city park in Sylmar is covered with graffiti tags heralding some of the nearby gangs. Like most of LA, the neighborhood doesn't look deadly. But just a few days before, in the middle of the afternoon, a teenager was shot in front of the high school across the street. On this day, a 17-year-old member of the Sanford gang agrees to meet here, to give us the lowdown on how he and his homeboys gangbang.
Roaming the streets, getting high, going out, looking to start fights and shoot at rival gangs. I mean, that's about it. I mean, just partying 24/7.
He's afraid for us to use his real name, saying he's been locked up 5 times for things like armed robbery and resisting arrest. He's just been kicked out of Sylmar High School for, as he puts it, causing drama. He says it doesn't matter how hard police come down.
There's never going to be peace between gang members, and no one's ever going to stop gangbanging. I mean, it might slow down, but it's never going to stop. There's too many gangs. And
there's nothing anybody can do about that?
I mean, I can change personally, but that's not going to stop 1,000 other gang members from changing. They're going to continue what they do. I mean, they're either dead or in prison.
He says getting out of his gang won't be easy. To join, he had to suffer a beatdown by his homeboys. If he leaves, he says, they may kill him. Just last week, L.A. lost a prominent gang interventionist. Lily Rodriguez, a former kickboxing champ, crusaded for years with her husband Blinky to help kids leave behind La Vida Loca, the crazy gang lifestyle. She died battling disease. At a crowded church auditorium in Van Nuys, thousands of relatives and friends gathered in her memory, among them Gilbert Alvarado.
I met her about 10 years ago when I was a little kid running around the streets. She changed my life, man. She really did.
Alvarado says Rodriguez inspired him to leave the Project Boys gang 10 years ago when he was 16.
Man, she helped a lot of guys like me in gangs, and she would teach them boxing. Instead of being out of the gangs, come here, man, I showed you how to fight. Come on, don't worry about it, you know? To her last day, man, she was trying to help me out, you know? Gilbert, she's like, man, I believe in you, mijo.
I'm sorry.
I never had nobody show me that. That affection, that love.
Alvarado suggests that unconditional love and patience by parents and police is what it really takes to counter gang life, something you may not find spelled out in any official anti-gang playbook. Mandalit del Barco, NPR News.